بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our sixth session, reading from the commentaries, تعليقات, of various scholars, but more specifically, the تعليقات مختصرة of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, as it relates to Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah by Imam Abu Ja'far, Ahmed ibn Muhammad ibn Salama Al-Tahawi, Rahimahullah. Before we go into the topic for tonight, let's quickly look at some of the topics that we discussed last week in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being mentioned, the sixth statement of Imam al-Tahawi in English or Arabic as it relates to the Sifat of Allah, the sixth statement in Sheikh Salih Fawzan's book. In the English translation, it's numbered number 6. In the Arabic, original text is numbered as number 7. Numbered as number 7. Alright, so the sixth statement of Imam al-Tahawi in Arabic or English as relates to the Sifat of Allah. Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah said, لا يفنى ولا يبيد, يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يفنى, he does not perish, ولا يبيد or pass away, يعني that Allah will not die. Question number 2, mention briefly what this statement of Imam al-Tahawi affirms and a proof for it from Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayah. يعني this statement is a statement of negation. لا يفنى, Allah does not perish. ولا يبيد, and Allah does not pass away. So, this statement of negation, that Allah does not perish or pass away, what does it affirm? What does it affirm, and what is the proof for it from Surah Furqan? So it affirms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is موصوف بالحيات الباقية الدائمة. It affirms that Allah is described with having the life that is baqiyah, that remains, that never ends, and that is da'ima, forever. That Allah doesn't perish or pass away, that negative statement is an affirmation that Allah is described with life that remains forever. And a proof for this from the Quran, Surah Al-Furqan, 25th Surah, 58th Ayah, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. So put your trust and depend upon the one who has perfect life and who will never die. Third question, mention the seventh statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi as it relates to the irada of Allah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The seventh statement in the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary, it is also numbered number 7, but in the original Arabic version, it's numbered as number 8. Seventh statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi as it relates to the irada of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ, يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يفنى ولا يبيد, he does not perish, nor will he pass away, وَلَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ, and nothing comes into being, nothing will occur except what he wills. Except what he wills. Naam.
Afikum barakallah. Tayyib. The question, yeah, mention the two types of irada, the will of Allah, and which of them is intended here? Basit.
The two types are kawniya and shar'iya.
Okay. Al-irada al-kawniya and irada al-shar'iya. What does that mean, yani in English, briefly? Naam, Ahmed.
The irada al-kawniya is the universal will.
Okay, the irada al-kawniya is the universal will. Uh-huh.
The decree of what will happen, even if Allah likes or doesn't like it, it's going to happen 100%.
Okay, so al-irada al-kawniya, he said it's what Allah has decreed, the decree of Allah. So it's also known as al-irada al-qadariya. So this is what Allah has decreed to happen, and it must happen. Whether it's from those things that Allah loves and is pleased with or not, it must happen. It may be from that which Allah loves, And it may not be from that which Allah loves, but it must happen. Okay, it's what Allah decreed. Irada shar'iyya, somebody else. Al-irada shar'iyya, naam, Abdul Wali.
Irada shar'iyya, it is what Allah loves, and it may or may not happen.
Okay, it entails what, this is also to easily remember, al-irada shar'iyya is related to al-mahabba, what Allah loves and is pleased with. It may or may not happen. Okay, so these are the opposite two matters. Yani irada, kawniya, qadariya, it must happen. It may be what Allah loves or not. Irada shara'iyya, it is only what Allah loves, what He legislated, what He commanded us with. But it may or may not happen. It may or may not happen. Okay, so which type of irada is intended here when He says nothing comes into being except what Allah wills? Naam. Al-Khawniya. Why do you say Al-Khawniya? It's correct, by the way, but why do you say Al-Khawniya?
It's the universal one it's talking about is Qadri.
Because it's talking about His Qadr, what Allah decreed, that it must happen. So nothing happens except what Allah wills. It's not going to be outside, nothing is going to occur except that it's within what Allah wills, what Allah has decreed. That's the irada Qawniya. What Allah decrees, that must happen, whether it's from that which He loves or not. Tayyib. So last week somebody sent me a question about the proof for this irada, any of these two types of irada. And in the class last week, and yeah, I would suggest that a person, if this is not clear, now we are reviewing today, but if it's not clear, to go back to the class and look at the notes, of how it was explained and the ayahs from the Quran that are mentioned, so the person can see that when Allah wills something, it may sometimes clearly be that which He loves. And other times it may not be that which He loves, but it must happen. And that the proof for it is how Allah uses, yani this expression, how He uses it in the Quran. That He uses irada sometimes to mean that which He decreed and it must happen, whether He loves it or not. And sometimes He uses it in the Quran to indicate that which He legislated. And that thing may or may not happen. So that's the usage of the expression by Allah Himself in the Quran. That's where it comes from. The scholars of Sunnah, they have examined the ayahs of the Quran and how Allah used this expression and what, yani, we can understand what it entails. So that a person is not confused by the idea. So does Allah will that, yani, people murder other people? Does Allah will that people disbelieve? He wills it, yes. He wills it. How so? In His irada kawniya. That which He decreed to happen for some purpose or wisdom. Otherwise people become confused. Like how can Allah will, yani, that people murder and people commit sin and adultery and fornication and kufr and shirk? Because Allah has two types of will. One is that which He may or may not love. He doesn't love kufr and shirk, but He wills it. He decreed it to happen for a purpose, for wisdom. Now, Tayyib, after this, question number 5. Name the deviant group refuted by this statement of Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, and summarize the Aqidah on this point. What is the deviant group that is refuted here, and what is their Aqidah on this point? Naam, Zakariya.
The Qadariya.
The Qadariya. Naam. What is their Aqidah? In brief.
They say that the Bani Adam, they create their own actions.
That the human beings create their own actions. Yani, and what we believe in terms of the Qadar of Allah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything, that He has it written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, that He wills it and then He creates it. There's only one creator. There's not a creator of good and evil. People don't create their own actions. Allah is the only creator. Everything that exists is by Allah's creation. Tayyib, question number 6. Mention the eighth statement. And here, again, in the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's book, it is mentioned as 8, but in the Arabic it's mentioned as 9. Mention the 8th statement of Imam At-Tahawi rahimahullah as it relates to the human being's limited knowledge of Allah. As it relates to the human being's limited knowledge of Allah. Naam, Adam.
لَا تَبْلُغُوهُ الْأَوْهَامُ وَلَا تُدْرِكُوهُ الْأَفْهَامُ.
Type meaning?
No imagination can fully conceive him.
No imagination can fully conceive him. Naam.
And no understanding can fully comprehend him.
And no understanding, yani, can fully comprehend him. Meaning the awham and the afham. Yani, the people's imagination and the people's understanding, yani knowledge, intellect and things, cannot comprehend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can know something about Allah, but you can't know Allah completely and comprehend everything about Him completely. طيب, question number seven. As it relates to the ninth statement, of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. And again, the numbers, yani, it is 9 in the English translation, it's 10 in the Arabic translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's book. Is there not, in reference to the ninth statement, first we need to know what is the ninth statement, and then, is there not a resemblance between the Asma and Sifat of Allah and the Asma and Sifat of the created being? What is the ninth statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi? Ninth statement in the back. Anybody? Yeah, Naam, Naeem. Okay, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't resemble anything in the creation. He doesn't resemble anything in the creation. So the question is there not some kind of resemblance between the asma and sifat of Allah and the asma and sifat of the created beings? Now, and so this question really is important. You know, it's a fine point, but it's important. Because this could also cause confusion if we don't understand this. Naam, Abdul Wali.
He shares with them the sifat, names, and asma only with the creation, but not in their reality.
Now, Fadl.
Allah is the all-seeing, but the mankind, we can only see limited, and some of us need glasses. Allah is the all-hearing, and we can only hear within a certain range, and so forth.
طيب. So the point is that there is some ishtiraq between the lafz and the manna, the wording that's used to describe Allah and something in the creation, there's some sharing in the use of the wording, the expression, and even in its meaning, that hearing is hearing. But there's no yani comparison between the reality, the haqiqah of Allah's sifat and the sifat or the names of the human beings. Okay, so what do we mean here? We mean that Allah may be described as having knowledge, and the human being has knowledge. So the word that's used is shared, and even the meaning of knowledge is shared, but not the reality of it. And the knowledge of Allah, knowledge of human being, knowledge of Allah, its reality is far different. It's far different. And as he gave the examples of seeing and hearing and other things like that, the word may be shared mutually, and even the meaning of it, the general meaning of it, but the reality of it is different. And this is an important point so that people don't become confused when we say there's no comparison. Then they say, well, the same name is used, that's a comparison. Even the same meaning is there. Otherwise, how would we know what knowledge means in reference to Allah if they don't share the meaning? Yani of the word knowledge as it's in reference to created beings. It shares the meaning. So that's the only way we can know what is that knowledge. But the reality of it, the extent of it, is different yani altogether. There's no comparison there. Tayyib, question number 8, the 10th statement. 10th statement, and it is 10th in the English translation, but 11th in the Arabic original text. The 10th statement contains two descriptions of Allah. What are they, and which ayat are they derived from? What are those two descriptions? Naam. Hayyun la yamut, Qayyumun la yanam. Hold on, first, what does that mean? Hayyun la yamut, what does that mean? Anybody? He's living. Yani Allah is the living that doesn't die. And He is Qayyum. Qayyum, somebody? Sustainer. Huh? Sustainer. Okay, self-subsistent, sustainer, naam. And He doesn't sleep. Okay, and which ayat is this derived from? From Ayatul Kursi, the beginning of Ayatul Kursi. Somebody recite the first beginning of Ayatul Kursi for us in Arabic. Naam. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayy al-qayyum. Yani the ever-living, the self-subsisting. The last question, discuss briefly the two aspects of al-qayyum as mentioned by Sheikh Salih Fawzan. What did he say about al-qayyum, that there are two sides of it, or two aspects, or two angles that we can look at it from? What did he say there? Anybody? Yeah. Al-qayyum li-nafsi, المقيم لغيره meaning القائم لنفسه يعني القائم يعني بنفسه means that he takes care of, fulfills yani every need of his own, of himself. Yani he is self-subsisting, self-sustaining. Al-Qa'im li-ghayrihi means that he also is responsible for taking care of the needs of other than himself, meaning everything else. So he is self-subsisting. He subsists on his own. He sustains himself and he also sustains everything else besides himself. Now, these are some of the things that we mentioned last week and tonight, Bi'izni Allah Ta'ala, we're going to take it from there. With the next few points. So the following statement is statement number 11. And here the numbers are going to get even worse than they were before. It's statement number 11. And the last one that we covered was 10. So this is number 11. In the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, it's not 11. It's 12. And in the Arabic, it's 13. Okay, so the numbers now, yani took another step further away from any kind of agreement. Yani this statement is statement number 11. In the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, it's 12. And in the Arabic text of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, it's 13. So you don't have to memorize these numbers. You just have to know which book you are referring to. If you're going to the Arabic commentaries, you know that this is going to be the 10th statement, 11th statement. If you're looking at Sheikh Salih Fawzan, his commentary, then either in Arabic or English, what is the number? Yani in Arabic is 13, in English is 12. It's just so that whatever book you're looking at, you know where we're at. That's it. And hopefully, yani, it doesn't become a cause of confusion for us. The 11th statement. خَالِقٌ بِلَا حَاجَةٍ رَازِقٌ بِلَا مُؤْنَةٍ. So here there are two statements in this, yani 11th statement. There are two statements. That he is خَالِق and that he is رَازِق. That he is خَالِق and that he is رَازِق. Yani means he is the creator. He is a creator without any need of his creation. And he created the creation, he has no need of the creation. رَازِقٌ بِلَا مُعْنَى. And he is a provider, the provider who provides for his creation without any difficulty or effort. Yani without, it's not difficult for him to provide for the whole of the creation. So these are two names of Allah actually, خَالِقٌ and رَازِقٌ or رَزَاقٌ. Now, so as far as these two names or these characteristics or qualities that they contain, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, يَنِي خَالِقٌ رَازِقٌ يَنِي خَالِقٌ هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْخَلْقِ وَهُوَ لَيْسَ بِحَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهِمْ. Yani Allah is the one who created everything in the creation while he has no need of them. He has no need of anything in the creation. He created it without having any need for it. إِنَّمَا خَلَقَهُمْ لِإِبَادَتِهِ. So why did he create the creation? He indeed, for only one reason. He created the creation to worship him. He created the creation to worship him. And then he mentions from Surah Al-Dhariyat, 51st Surah, 56th Ayah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I have not created the jinn and the men except for them to worship me. This point here, yani if a person yani can consider carefully what Imam At-Tahawi said here and what is the meaning of what he said. He said he is creator without any need. Without any need of what? Without any need of the creation that he created. So then why did he create the creation then? And he has no need for it, so what did he create it for? He created the creation to worship him. So Allah has no need of the creation. But does the creation have need of him? He says, the Shaykh says, he created the creation to worship him. And then he mentions the saying of Allah, I've created the jinn and the men to worship me. فَخَلَقَهُمْ لَا لِحَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهِمْ بِأَنْ يَنْصُرُوهُ أَوْ يُعِينُهُ أَوْ لِيُسَاعِدُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَوْ يَحْمُهُ إِنَّمَا خَلَقَهُمْ لِإِبَادَتِهِ. Yani he didn't have any need. He created the creation not because he has any need of them to support him or to aid him or to assist him or to protect him. No, he has no need for any of that. But rather, he created them for the purpose of worshipping him. وَهُمْ الْمُحْتَجُونَ لِلْعِبَادَةِ They are the ones who are in need. The creation is in need of worshipping Allah. So he created them to worship him. They are the ones who are in need. Allah has no need. Rather, the creation is in need. And what are they in need of? A lot of money? A lot of cars or homes? They are in need of worshipping Allah. That is the purpose for which the human being is created, and that's what the human being is in need of. Any other things are secondary. But the real need of the human being is to worship Allah. Why? لِتَصِلَهُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَتَرَبُّتَهُمْ بِرَبِّهِمْ And it is so that they can be connected to Allah and tied to their Rabb. And why are they in need of worship? So that they can have a connection, a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the worship that connects the human being to their Rabb. فَالْعِبَادَةُ صِلَةٌ بَيْنَ الْعَبُّ وَرَبِّهِ The worship, it is a sila, yani it is a connection. It is a connection that connects the abd to his Rabb. The worship is the sila that connects between al-abd, the worshipper, and the Rabb. فَتُقَرِّبُهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ So this worship brings the abd near to Allah. وَيَحْسُلُ بِهَا مِنَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الثَّوَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ And they will also attain by this worship, they will receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala الثَّوَابِ وَالْجَزَاءِ They will receive reward. They will receive compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the shaykh saying here? He is saying that Imam al-Tahawi says Allah is خَالِق بِلَا حَاجَةٍ He is a creator that has no need of his creation. But the creation is in need of Allah. So he created the creation with a need to worship him so that they can be connected to him. So that they can get near to him. So that they can earn his reward. Al-Jannah. So what the Shaykh has said here, really if a person reflects on it, this is profound. And why did Allah create? We all know Allah created us to worship him. But why though? He created us to worship him so that we will have a relationship with him. So that we can be connected to him. So that we can draw near to him. Person wants to be near to Allah, it's by worshipping him. By being obedient to him. By fulfilling his commands and avoiding his prohibitions. So that we can be near to him. And so that we can earn any of the paradise that he has prepared for those who believe and do good deeds. You have a question, Ismail? No? I saw a little hand back there. Couldn't be anyone except a little person. طيب خير. So the Shaykh he closes this point by saying, فَالْعِبَادَةُ حَاجَةٌ لِلْخَلْقِ لَيْسَتْ بِحَاجَةٍ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ So the worship is something that the creation is in need of. And it is not something that Allah is in need of, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And then he mentions, two ayats from the Quran, the first from Surah Ibrahim, 14th Surah, 8th ayat. إِن تَكْفُرُوا أَنْتُمْ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ Yani that if you all, and whoever is in the earth, everyone, were to disbelieve in Allah, then indeed Allah is definitely لَغَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ He is free of need. He is rich, he doesn't have any need of anything or anyone, and he is praiseworthy. Then he mentions also from Surah Zumar, which I didn't write the number, I think it's 39? 39? 39th Surah, 7th Ayah. Yeah. And if you disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah is free of need of you. Allah has no need of you. And if you don't worship Allah, Allah has no need of you. And it doesn't make any difference to Allah. Rather, it only causes harm to your own self. And then he goes to the second point, which he doesn't go into any great detail on, and that is that Allah is also Raziqun, or Raziqun. That He is a provider, bila mu'na, yani that He provides without making any effort, without any difficulty. It's easy for Him to provide for His creation. The Shaykh says, أي هو القائم بأرزاق عباده ولا ينقص ذلك مما عنده. Yani He said that He is the one who provides, who fulfills the needs, gives the provisions for His worshippers. And that His giving them whatever it is that they need doesn't reduce or decrease what is with Him. And this is, it reminds us of the hadith, in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, hadith number 24. And we didn't reach the hadith yet in terms of memorization, right? We didn't reach it yet? In any case, mashallah, it is one of the beautiful hadith, yani hadith Qudsi, yani where the Prophet ﷺ relates from his Rabb, the Most High, and from the sayings in that hadith that are related to the point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for the whole of the creation, and it's not difficult for Him at all. It's easy. He doesn't have to work at it. Because Allah owns everything in the heavens and earth. And if He gives everybody their need, it doesn't decrease with Him at all. He said in the Hadith Qudsi, Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في سعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل واحد مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. O my worshippers, if the first of you and the last of you, the humans amongst you and the jinn, all stood in one place and everyone asked me, yani whatever he wanted to request, and I gave everyone what he asked for, it wouldn't decrease what is with me, except like if a person dipped a needle in the ocean, how much water would be decreased from it, from a needle dipping in the ocean? Nothing. In other words, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to give every human being, first from the first and the last, of everybody who lived on the earth, from the beginning until the end, and every jinn, every person what they requested, what would come out of what Allah owns in the heavens and earth would be like the water that comes out of the sea, out of the ocean, if you dipped a needle into it. And this hadith is a proof, yani for what the Shaykh says here, that Allah is the provider without any difficulty. Yani He provides for His worshippers, and His providing for all of them, everything in the creation, doesn't decrease what's with Him at all. Except as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith Qudsi, like yani the amount of water that's removed from the ocean if you dip a needle into it. Point number 14, the Shaykh, he says, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, Mumitun bila makhafa. Mumitun bila makhafa. And He is the one who causes death. He causes death to the created beings without fear. He causes death to the created beings without fear. And this this point is the 12th statement. And in the English translation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, it is numbered 13. And in the Arabic text, it's numbered 14. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who causes death without any fear. The Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says, يُمِيتُ الْأَحْيَاءَ إِذَا كَمُلَتْ آجَالُهُمْ لَا لِأَنَّهُ خَائِفٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَلَكِنْ ذَلِكَ لِحِكْمَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لِأَنَّ الْحَيَاةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا لَهَا نِعَايَةً وَأَمَّا الْآخِرَةَ فَلَيْسَ لِلْحَيَاةِ فِيهَا نِهَايَةً. Yani that Allah is the one who causes death to those that are living, yani when their term, their lifespan is completed. Yani Allah has decreed every creature that it has a lifespan in this world. And when the person reaches their term, then Allah takes their life, when they reach their term. Shaykh says, and this is the point that he's making here is that there's a reason why Allah, causes the creature to die. It's not because he is in fear of them. But rather, he said, it is for a wisdom, a hikmah. Yani a hikmah, it means that there's a purpose. There's an objective behind it. It's not like a person who just acts haphazardly and does things without any reason. No, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the person to die for hikmah. Yani there's a purpose, there's an objective. There's an actual reason why he is doing this. It has some purpose, some objective. And that is because the life in this world, okay, so there's life in this world and there's life in the hereafter. The life in this world, Allah has made it that it has an ending because there's another life to live. So a person has to leave this world in order to go on to the next life. And the life in the akhirah has no ending. So a person, every created being, every human being or other than human being, has to die. Has to come to the end of their term in this world so that a time will come when everyone will be resurrected and then there will be a life in the hereafter. And that life has no ending. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us a good life in the hereafter, in His Jannah. So the Shaykh says, so they're taking their life, لَيْسَ خَوْفًا مِنْهُمْ. It's not out of fear of them. أَوْ لِيَسْتَرِيحْ مِنْهُمْ. It's not so that he can get some rest from them. And he's tired of these people. وَلَوْ كَانُوا يَكْفُرُونَ بِهِ. Even if they disbelieved in him. Allah has not taken them out of this world out of fear of them, nor because he's tired of them, even though they are disbelievers, even the disbelievers. It's not because he's tired of them. Because their disbelief, he says, لَا يَتَضَرُّوا بِكُفْرِهِمْ. Allah has not harmed at all by their disbelief. So it doesn't matter. They live long or not. Allah is not harmed in any way by their disbelief. وَإِنَّمَا يَدُرُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Rather, this disbelief only causes harm to their own selves. Only cause harm to their own selves. In spite of that, in spite of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not harmed at all, and therefore it doesn't matter, that's not the factor. But rather, the point is what? That the life in this world has an ending. And then there's a life in the akhirah. He said, وَلَكِنْ هُوَ يَفْرَهُ بِتَوْبَتِهِمْ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with the repentance of those who commit sins. And if a person repents, then Allah is happy with this. Not because he benefits from it. لِأَنَّهُ يُحِبُّ وَيُرِيدُ لَهُمَ الْخَيْرِ. That's because Allah loves and Allah wills good for His ibad. فَهُوَ يَفْرَحْ بِتَوْبَتِهِمْ. So he is happy with their repentance. وَهُوَ لَيْسَ فِي حَاجَةٍ إِلَيْهِمْ. While he has no need of them. وَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ مِنْ لُطْفِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ. And this is due to Allah's kindness and His generosity. The last point that we want to look at tonight is it's actually connected to the previous statement. And it was connected to the previous statement that Allah is the one who causes death without fear. And He also is the one who resurrects without any difficulty. So Shaykh Salih Fazal has separated these two statements into two points. So this became point number 15 in the Arabic edition and 14 in the English tradition, English edition, even though it's part of the 12th statement in the original commentaries. So it's statement number 12. In Shaykh Salih Al-Fawzan's commentary in English, it's 14, in Arabic it's 15. Yani that Allah is ba'ithun bila mashakka. Yani He is the one who restores to life and resurrects the dead. He is the one who brings life back to the dead, who resurrects the dead. And here, I want to just, before I read the Shaykh's commentary, I want to mention that in various places in the Quran, Allah resurrecting the dead is mentioned. Yani Allah is described as resurrecting the dead in many places. But it doesn't come as a ism, as a name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an. It doesn't come in the Qur'an as a noun, as an ism of Allah that his, one of his names is Ba'ith. Even though this name came in the hadith reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah has a book, the Takhrij of that hadith, the names of Allah, and it is agreed upon by the scholars of hadith that the part of the hadith that mentions, lists the 99 names, is not authentic. The first part of the hadith that Allah has 99 names, or 100 except one, whoever memorized, من أحصى دخل الجنة, whoever memorized them and learns their meanings and acts upon them will enter the paradise, that part of the hadith is authentic, but the listing of the 99 names is not authentically reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a person might have seen this name, Ba'ith, is in that list, along with Muhyi wa Mumit. Although many of the scholars of the Sunnah don't accept those being names of Allah, although Allah is definitely described as the one who gives life, and He causes death, and He resurrects the dead, all of that. So this is just a point that, you know, just want to mention here, you know, that Allah has descriptions that don't necessarily mean that that's a name for Allah. Although every name of Allah contains a sifa of Allah. Okay, so this is from the principles of Asma al-Sifat, that every name of Allah, from Asma al-Husna, every one of them is not only a name for Allah, a title for Allah, but it also contains a description of Allah. So Al-Alim, Allah, that's His name, and He also is described by that name as having the description of knowledge. And Al-Hakim is a name of Allah, but it also indicates that Allah is described as having hikmah. Unlike the human being whose name might be Alim and he might be have no knowledge. And his name might be Hakim and he might be ignorant. Okay, but Allah, this is from the principles of Asma wa Sifat, that every one of the names of Allah, that are His names, that are verified in the Quran and authentic Sunnah, every one of them is both a name and a wasf, a description. So every description, the opposite is not true. Not every description is a name for Allah. So we can't derive a name from every description, as we mentioned last week or the week before, from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, that the names of Allah are tawqifiyya. We can't give Allah a name just because there's a description in the Quran or in the Sunnah that He's described as resurrecting the dead or whatever, whatever. Alright, so this is just a point that we want to make here, because there are 10 descriptions that Al-Imam At-Tahawi mentions up until here. 10 descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some of them are actual names from the Asma of Allah al-Husna that are verified in the Quran, and some of them are not. So from those that are not, that he mentioned earlier on, he mentioned that he said that Allah is what? Qadim. That's not a name of Allah. He mentioned that Allah is Da'im, Bila Intiha, and that's not a name of Allah. But the scholars said what? That in place of those, there are names of Allah that are verified in the Quran, and they are Al-Awwalu wal-Akhiru. Okay? So we want to kind of distinguish here between some of these descriptions that are actually from the Asma Allah al-Husna, and some of them are not. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because there's a question at the end to mention 6 of the names of Allah that Imam Tahawi mentioned up until here. So you have to pay attention. Which ones are actually names of Allah and which ones are not? Alright? So please be careful. And hopefully I'll give you one more hint, inshallah, if we have time at the end. Okay, so the last point, huwa ba'ithun bila mashakka, that He is the one who resurrects or restores life to the dead without any difficulty. It's easy for Allah. The Shaykh says, Hafidhullah, hadha min ajaib qudratihi. Yani this is from the amazing aspects of Allah's power and ability. Yani that after a human being or other than human being dies and body becomes decomposed and turns into dust in the earth, Allah is able to bring back the bones and the flesh and the skin and the hair and every part of a human being or any other creature, He's able to bring it back just like it was before. This is from the amazing aspects of the Qudra, the power and ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّهُ يُمِيتُ الْخَلْقِ وَيُفْنِيهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَلَاشُوا وَيَصِيرُوا تُرَابًا وَرُفَاتًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He causes the creature to die and to perish, to go out of existence until it becomes decomposed and it turns into sand or dirt surface on the surface of the earth or underneath the earth, and just the residue of whatever that creature was in this world. When it gets into that condition, he said, حَتَّى يَقُولَ الْجَاهِلُ, an ignorant person, person who is ignorant of the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would say, an ignorant person would say, لَا يُمْكِنْ أَنْ يَعُودُ, that it's not possible for that creature to come back again. That's what an ignorant person would say, person who doesn't know about the power of Allah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَبَعَثُهُمْ مِنْ جَدِيدٍ وَيُعِيدُ خَلْقَهُمْ مِنْ جَدِيدٍ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will resurrect them anew, and He will return their creation, yeah, repeat His their creation, bring them back again. وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ فِي ذَلِكَ مَشَكَّةٍ, and there's no difficulty for Allah in doing so. And this is something that is easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma sta'an. Okay, Allah help us. He says, and this is, and then the Shaykh mentions several ayats from the Quran, and he's dealing with this subject. He mentions several ayats from the Quran, and it's important that the believer, the Muslim, yani strengthen in one's iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the resurrection after death and in the accounting that will take place on Yawm al-Qiyamah and the reward and the punishment. Because indeed there are people from amongst the people who are Muslims who have some doubts about these things. And one of the indications of a person's doubt about the actual resurrection and accounting is that a person acts recklessly and just does whatever they want to do. Like, they ain't gonna have, when I'm dead, it's over. That's an indication of a person's action, no matter what they say in the, from their mouth. That's an indication that a person doesn't believe that this is actually going to happen. And then, of course, there are the disbelievers who just outright say, we don't believe that. And the Shaykh mentions yani something related to this that we can pay attention to, inshallah. So he says, so such that yani the body becomes decomposed after death to such an extent that an ignorant person would say it's not possible for this person to return, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect and He will repeat the creation, and this is not difficult for Allah. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Luqman, 31st Surah, 28th Ayat. مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعَثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ, yani that your creation, Allah creating the creation and then the resurrection of the dead, is no more than like one single soul. Yani the creation and the resurrection of every living being from the beginning of time until the end, creating the creation and resurrecting the dead, everyone who has died, is like just one soul. Yani it's as easy as it is for Allah to create and to resurrect one, He can create and resurrect billions and trillions. It's that easy, it's that simple for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something that's difficult for Allah. And then he says from Surah Ar-Rum, 30th Surah, 27th Ayah, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَبْدَأُ الْخَلْقَ ثُمَّ يُعِيدُهُ وَهُوَ أَحْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْعَالَى فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. Yani Allah, He is the one who begins the creation, yani who initially brought things into creation, into existence. And then He repeats it, yani then He will recreate them again. And this recreation, resurrection and recreation, هُوَ أَحْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, this is even easier for Him. This is even easier for Him, yani in the minds of the human beings. In the minds of the human beings. Yani the statement here, وَهُوَ أَحْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ, this is the argument for the people who in their mind thinks that it's difficult to resurrect the dead, to bring these things back after they decompose. So Allah is using a rational argument that the human beings think that doing something the next time is easier. Yani if He did it the first time, Especially if you consider that he created from nothing. And now there's something that he's just recreating it from. So that should be easier. But in reality, yani the creation the first time from nothing and the recreation is all easy for Allah. And it's not one is easier than the other. Everything is easy for Allah. But for the mind of the human being who thinks that this is difficult, Allah is saying, yani recreating, فَهَذَا أَحْوَنُ. Yani this is even easier for him. He already created you from nothing. So now recreating you from something, that should be easier in your mind. But in reality, it's all easy for Allah. And this is the argument that Allah has used, a rational argument for human beings. وَلَهُ مَثَلُ الْعَالَى. And he has al-mathalu al-'ala and al-wasf al-'ala. Yani al-sifa al-'ala. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is described with the highest descriptions. Meaning, yani don't compare anything in the descriptions of the created beings with the description of Allah. Because this is easy for Allah in the heavens and the earth. And he is al-aziz al-hakim. Yani the mighty and the all-wise. Shaykh says, فَالْمُشْرِكُونَ أَنْكَرُوا الْبَعْثِ إِسْتِبَعَادًا مِنْهُمْ. Yani that the pagan disbelievers, they denied the resurrection, considering this to be something ba'id, yani something far-fetched. This is far, this is too difficult. And this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned from them, in Surah Yasin, 78th and 79th ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, قَالَ مَنْ يُحْيِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. Yani that a disbeliever will say, who will give life to these bones? After the person died and decomposed and it's just bones left, who can give life to these bones? وَهِيُّ رَمِيمٌ. Yani after they are, yani disintegrated and decomposed. Again, this is the mistake of the human being who doesn't know the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power and ability. And he imagines that this can't be brought back to life. That's what he's thinking in his own ignorant mind after it's decomposed. قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So Allah responds to him saying, قُلْ يُحْيِيهَا الَّذِي أَنْشَاهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Yani the one who produced, who created, who brought them into existence the first time, he's the one who, yani, will give life to them. Yani you forgot that he's the one who created you from nothing. Why is it so hard to believe that he can bring you back again? The Shaykh says, أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. Yani the first time, yani the one who created you the first time, he's the one who will give life to the dead. The first time, لَيْسَ لَهَا وُجُودْ أَصْلًا. Yani you had, originally had no existence. You didn't exist at all. فَأَوْجَبَهَا مِنَ الْعَدْمِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. So Allah brought you into existence from nothing. From nothing. From no material. Just from nothing. You didn't exist at all. So the one who creates you from nothing, does not he have the ability to repeat, yani to bring back, yani to return that dead back to life again? More, yani it should be easier. Yani that's something more easy for you to understand that it is possible. وَهَذَا فِي نَظَرْ الْعُقُولِ. Yani the Shaykh is saying that this argument, that the one who created you the first time, he's the one who's going to bring you back to life, or as in the previous ayat, yani that the one who started the creation, then he will repeat it, and that's easier for him. He said, this is in the minds of the people, in the intellect of the human beings. This is according to their thinking, that something is difficult. And in reality, he's just, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just making them to realize that if he created you from nothing, if he's the one who did it the first time, then doing it again should be easier. وَإِلَّا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى لَا يُقَاسْ بِخَلْقِهِ إِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ لِضَرْبِ الْمَثَلِ وَلَهُوَ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. So he says that this is according to the intellects of the human beings. This is reasoning that Allah is using to make them think, to realize that the one who created you from nothing is easy for you to create you from something. Otherwise, Allah should not be compared to His creation. The inability of the human being, you shouldn't compare that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah is only using this to offer an example, a parable. While in reality, yani, وَلَهُ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah has the highest description. Yani, Allah is not like the human being in any way whatsoever. So then the Shaykh says, so this is a refutation against the jahid, the one who denies Allah's ability to resurrect the dead. This is a refutation against them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in those ayahs in Surah Yasin 36, 78, وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَ. Yani that the human being who's questioning Allah's ability to recreate, to give life to the dead, he's saying that that human being who's saying that, he forgot about his own creation. He forgot that you came from nothing. That Allah created you from nothing. He said, نَسِيَ أَنَّهُ فِي الْأَوَّلْ كَانَ لَا شَيْءٍ. And in the beginning you were nothing. لَا وُجُودْ لَهُ. You didn't exist at all. And Allah created you. And then you're asking, can Allah recreate? Can Allah give life to the dead? Shaykh says, Surah Al-Insan 76, first ayah, هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Yani, was there not a time when the human being was nothing to be mentioned? Non-existent. Hadn't yet come on the scene. Allah didn't bring you into existence. So he says, he forgot that Allah brought him into existence from nothing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring together, and he will bring together the separated bones and the torn up flesh and the dust that has been decomposed and the hair that has been scattered, and he will repeat its creation. He will bring it back to like it was the first time. يُعِيدُهَا كَمَا كَانَتْ, just as it was in the beginning. And then he mentions, yani, from the signs of the power of Allah and the ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions from Surah Al-Rum, 30th Surah, 25th Ayah, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَن تَقُومَ السَّمَاءُ وَالْأَرْضُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Yani, from the signs, from his signs, yani the signs of Allah's greatness and his power, is yani that the heavens and the earth remain in their positions and in their condition that Allah created them in from the very beginning by the command of Allah. Yani, by the power of Allah and by the yani control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign of Allah's power, that the heavens and the earth are remaining in their positions by the command of Allah. And then he says, and also showing the power of Allah, ثُمَّ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ دَعْوَةً مِنَ الْأَرْضِ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ تَخْرُجُونَ. And then, when Allah calls you forth from the earth, and it's just a call, an invitation at the day of resurrection, when Allah calls the people from the earth, then you will immediately, suddenly, come forth out of the earth. Yani, resurrected to life again, by the call of Allah, by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentions also from Surah Al-Zumr, 39th Surah, 68th Ayah, the saying of Allah, نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَن شَاءَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. He says that the horn will be blown into, and the people will fall dead, whoever is in the heavens and whoever is in the earth. Any of the creatures in the heavens and the earth will all die, except whom Allah wills. And the scholars of Tafsir have mentioned different things from amongst. They said, except who Allah wills, maybe the shuhada, or some of them that Allah wills, that they're not going to be subjected to this trial. Yani, of falling dead at the time of the blowing of the horn. He said, so everything in the heavens and the earth will die, ثُمَّ نُفِكَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى, and then it will be blown into it again, and then suddenly, at once, they will be standing, looking, waiting, yani, for what's going to happen next. And this is the blowing of the نَفْخَةُ بَعْثِ, yani the blowing of the horn that is for the resurrection. The first blowing was for the sa'iq and the maut, yani the people would be shocked and yani caused to die. Naam. And the second blowing is the resurrection. And then he mentions from Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 51st Ayah, the saying of Allah, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ وَإِذَا هُمْ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ إِلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَنْسِلُونَ. Yani then the horn will be blown into, and then they will be coming forth from their graves to their Rabb, hastening to their Rabb. قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا مَنْ بَعْثَنَا مِنْ مَرْقَدِنَا. Yani they will say, woe to us. Who is it that has brought us, raised us up from our sleeping place? هَذَا مَا وَعَدَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَصَدَقَ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. This is, yani this resurrection is what Allah promised, Ar-Rahman, and it is the truth that was spoken by the messengers. This is in Surah Yasin, 36 Surah, 51st and 52nd Ayah. Then the Shaykh says, He says, so Allah is Qadir, He is able to do everything. And these ayat and these points here, they are a refutation against the disbelievers who consider Allah to be unable to give life to the dead and to return them like they were before they died. And then finally the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Qiyamah, 75th Surah, 3rd and 4th Ayah, أَيَحْسَبُ الْإِنسَانُ أَلَّنْ نَجْمَعَ إِذَامَهُ. Does the human being think that we will not be able to assemble his bones and to bring him back to life again? بَلَا قَادِرِينَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ نُسَوِّيَ بَنَانَ. But rather we are able. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying He is able to even bring back their fingertips. Yani, as they were, some of the scholars said, but these fine lines that are in the fingertips of the human being that are different from one human being to another, Allah is able to bring all that back, yani just as it was the first time. And the Shaykh closes with this last ayat from Surah Al-Ma'arij, 70th Surah, 43rd ayat, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَى نُصُبٍ يُنْفِدُونَ. Yani that the people will come forth from their graves hastily, rapidly, as though they are hastening or rushing to yani something that has been set up in front of them, nusub. Yani something that has been set up like a goal that the people are rushing towards it. Sheikh says, and this is what he closes with here, that this is the qudra of Allah and this is His irada and His mashiyah. And this shows the power of Allah. And that whatever Allah wills and whatever He decides and decrees is going to be. And there's nothing. لَا يُعْجِزُهُ شَيْءٌ. Nothing, yani, can render Him incapable. Nothing is impossible for Him. وَلَكِنْ بَعْدَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ يُقِيسُ اللَّهِ بِخَلْقِهِ. But some of the created beings, they have compared Allah to His creation. So they considered the resurrection to be something that's far-fetched. Because in his mind, لِأَنَّهُ فِي نَظْرِهِ مُسْتَحِيلٌ. And in the mind of the disbeliever, this resurrection is something that is impossible. وَلَا يَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ قُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ. He's not looking at the power and the ability of Allah, and he doesn't give Allah His just due. And he doesn't appreciate Allah, the power of Allah, and the greatness of Allah that is due to him. وَهَذَا من الجهل بالله عز وجل. And this is due to the ignorance, and a person who is ignorant of Allah, the Mighty and the Majestic. So this is where we stop for today, and Allahu Musta'an. Here we just want to quickly look at, I don't know if we have much time left, or is our time finished? Oh no, we still have 5 minutes, okay. So, or maybe not 5 minutes, because I think this thing wasn't running in the beginning, right? Tayyib. Just quickly though, the names of Allah or the descriptions of Allah that Imam al-Tahawi mentions from the beginning, you just want to try to get some help here from each other before we try to do this questionnaire study guide during the week. Names of Allah that are mentioned from the beginning, or from the middle, or from up until where we are now. Naam. Huh? Qayyum, Qayyum. From the names of Allah is Al-Qayyum, yani the self-subsistent, who takes care of everything. Imam? Wahid. Naam, in the beginning. Qadim. Qadim. Qadim is mentioned, but is it a name of Allah? We said that Qadim is not a name of Allah, but rather, yani, Al-Imam al-Tahawi said Qadim bila ibtida, meaning, yani, he has no beginning. That means he is what? Al-Awwal. Even though he doesn't mention Al-Awwal, but that would be a name that he referred to here, even though he didn't mention it. Naam, Zakariya. Khaliq Razik. That's two names, mashallah. Give somebody else a chance. Okay, that's two names. Khaliq Razik. How many is that so far? Okay, Wahid, Qayyum, Khaliq Razik. That's four. Huh? Hay. Al-Hayy. Okay, he mentions he's Al-Hayy. He mentioned that's one of the names. That's five. That's five. Basil. Al-Akhir. Okay, so he mentioned that he is what? Daim bila intiha. He doesn't mention al-akhir, but that's a name that should be used in place of it. Naam. That's six? Naam, akhi. Huh? I couldn't hear.
Aziz.
Okay, did Imam Tahawi mention this as a name?
Not yet.
Not Imam Tahawi, he didn't mention it. Not yet. Naam. Idris? Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Did he mention that in the statements of the Aqeedah? Not in his opening, Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. I mean, when he mentions from where? That we say what we believe in the Tawheed of Allah is Inna Allaha Wahidun. La Sharika Lah. Naam.
Allah.
Huh?
Allah.
Allah. Okay, Allah, mashallah. Allahu Akbar. What's your name? MashaAllah. Allah. Inna Allaha Wahidun. La Sharika Lah. Ahsant. What else? Anything else? Did we leave out anything? Okay, so we have two names, right? Qadim and Daim, that are not from the names of Allah. These are the descriptions that he gave, and the names would be Al-Awwal wal-Akhir. And there's one more name. There's one more name. Now.
I'm not sure. I'm with
Mumayyatun. Mumit. Mumit. He mentions Mumit, yani, but... it appears, the stronger opinion of the scholars is that it's not from the names of Allah, although it's mentioned in the hadith of Tirmidhi. But the listing of the names, we said, Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said that the scholars of hadith are in agreement that that listing is not authentic. And it's not from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. No, Muhammad.
Qadiyah.
Huh?
Qadiyah.
Did he mention Qadiyah in the Imam Tahawi? Did he mention Qadiyah?
He says, لَا يَكُنْ إِلَّا مَا
يُرِيدُ وَلَا يَكُنْ إِلَّا مَا يُرِيدُ. He didn't say Qadiyah. Actually, that particular point is about the irada of Allah. Okay, of course, Allah's irada is executed by His qudra. But irada and qudra is not the same. Naam.
Is that
Khaliq? Huh?
Did we say Khaliq?
Did we say Khaliq? Razik. Somebody said both of them together. Zakaria said Khaliq Razik. Naam.
Did we say Al-Hakim?
Huh? Al-Hakim. Did he mention Al-Hakim? No. Not in the text of Imam Tahawi's statement. Naam. فَعَلَ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. Imam is going to save us, because otherwise we're going to be here all night. And we got to get out of here now.
Al-Ilah.
Al-Ilah. Where did that come? La ilaha ghayru. Al-Ilah, Shaykh Abdul Razak in his book, The Fiqh of Asma Allah, he mentions, yani, he begins with Allah and Al-Ilah. And when he describes Allah and he discusses it, he says that from the origin of the meaning of Allah is from the word Al-Ilah. And Ilah means the Ma'bud, the one alone that deserves to be worshipped. And he said that Al-Ilah is from the Asma Allah. And he mentioned several places in the Quran that it's mentioned from the names of Allah. So those are the names, and those are the ones that we refer to that are not names. And inshallah, that's going to be part of the question and study guide for next week. And if anybody doesn't have the book of Shaykh Abdul Razak, there's a summary and there's a original book, which is about 300 or 400 pages. The original book, the summary is less than half, close to half of that. It's really, really a beneficial book. Inshallah, whoever can go back and refer to it. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grants success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone and according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grants us thabat until we return to Him in a condition, being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him, and that He grant recovery to those who are sick, and showers rahmah upon those who have passed away, and fill their graves with light, and make them spacious, and save them from the punishment of the grave and the punishment of the fire, and admit them into His paradise, and that He grant relief to the Muslims wherever they are, whether in Palestine or other than that, that Allah grant relief to them that only can come from Him. He is indeed the one that help is sought from. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, inshallah, we're going to take a few minutes for whoever doesn't have to leave. We have some refreshments. We have some refreshments here. We'll do that, inshallah, and then we will depart. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allahu khair.